Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me this morning. This is going to be a very, very special broadcast in that my guest joining me here in the studio this morning is a returning guest, and in fact, he is a friend and ministry partner of many, many years. He was our very first guest here on the broadcast way back in March of 2017. And my guest this morning is a very, very familiar voice and name to our immediate community. My guest this morning is Don Clark. Don, good to see you, sir.
Thank you, Philip. Good morning. Great to be with you.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't know I was the first. Or if I did know, I'd forgotten. So that's pretty cool.
You were the first. And I jokingly told you this morning, you're going to keep doing this till you get it right.
Well, you survived the first, so, you know, that could have been the great test.
Well, let's jump into the deep, okay, with you?
Folks, you bet.
You and I, because we have known one another for many years, and we have certainly from time to time talked about the subject matter of homosexuality.
Sure.
And I know, based upon what you have shared with me over these many years, that this has been a very, very important topic to you. You have, in fact, you have spoken on the subject, you've written articles on it. I wanted to ask you, because, again, you have turned your attention to this subject matter frequently over the years. Was there something in particular that caused you to take a step and go, this is important. Someone needs to address this. Did anything in particular happen?
Well, I read the scriptures. The scriptures are very clear on this subject, at least in my understanding. And so... it's been my goal in life to try to stand where the scriptures stand on any subject. So it wasn't just the question of same-sex attraction that riveted my attention. It's I try to gauge. I try to use scripture as a carpenter uses a plumb line to drop the plumb line down to see if he's building straight, if the building is in perfect alignment. Because if you build out of alignment, then you got problems with your structure, and that's my feeling about our society. It's my conviction, and I think it's being dramatically proved out in what we're witnessing and experience, that the closer a society comes to the principles and the truths of Scripture, the healthier that society is, the more stable, the more fulfilling for its citizens. But the further it departs from Scripture, rejects Scripture, ignores Scripture, the more dysfunctional, the more disordered, the more diseased the society becomes. And so it's just been my kind of life mission to just take my stand where I just think God's smarter than all the rest of us.
You think?
Yeah. And so I just try to stand where Scripture stands. And so when it came to this topic that came up, as with any other topic, I just tried to say what Scripture said, try to say it lovingly, try to say it clearly, say it compassionately. I look at what Paul wrote in the book of Romans, for example, about it was straightforward. It was uncompromising about what Paul said about homosexuality. But then in the very next paragraph, he said, and you have no right to judge these people, you know? And so it's not that, I'm in any position, or anyone in, is in a position to condemn people, but what we are in a position to do is speak God's truth and then let the conscience of that person speak to him through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. You know very, very well that the whole subject matter of homosexuality, again, is a topic I speak to personally and professionally. And you know, some 35 years ago, when I surrendered my life to Christ and I'm in church for the first time, began to read and study God's Word, it was crystal clear to me from the scriptures that I read in Leviticus and Romans, 1 Corinthians, that homosexual practice, not unlike many other behaviors, was a behavior that God clearly said, don't go there, don't do this. That right. was abundantly clear to me. And I have continued to study the scriptures over these many, many years, as I know you have also. Have you ever found even one scripture that validates or encourages homosexual practice?
No, not one. Not one. Quite the opposite. And while we're doing this, I want to say to you, Philip, I haven't found anyone that I've read, studied, consulted with that has spoken more clearly to this issue in our culture than you have. And you've done it, just with such clarity and with such compassion. And I think you have struck a balance that that very few have struck in dealing with this matter, and of people who are struggling with this issue or not struggling with this issue.
Well, I appreciate your kind, encouraging words. And I think to some degree, I mean, given I was at one point, as the saying goes, been there, done that.
Yep.
I was on the other side of the fence on this subject.
Yep.
And so for to me, again, it's very, very personal in that it's clear this is ultimately not about an issue. This is about people.
Yeah.
We're talking about people whom God loves.
Yes.
People for whom Jesus died.
Yes.
But the Bible has to remain our textbook for life.
Yes.
Our guidance. And again, I really believe God's been so clear in his word.
Yes.
About certain behaviors that we are not to practice because he's trying to protect us from unseen danger.
Yes. Yes. It's a protective love.
Yes.
That these admonitions and these cautions and these warnings are laid down for us, and all of that comes out of a great love for our best interest, for what's most healthy, most fulfilling for us. And I want all you folks out there. Philip is retiring from his work, continuing this radio show, but has reached a point of retirement. And so I took him to a retirement dinner at Marie Callender's. By the way, Marie Callender's is open. and we had a great time. But he was telling me what it was like to be on the other side. He had everything. He was living in a luxury prestige apartment on Nob Hill in San Francisco. He had a closet full of designer clothes. I don't know what kind of car you were driving, but I'm assuming it was really upscale. He had every benefit that United Airlines could give an employee in his best days. He could travel the world, go any place he wanted. And yet, I mean, this was something that any man, any young man, unmarried man, gay or straight, would want to have. You had the ideal life.
I had all the stuff.
All of the toys.
All the stuff.
And yet, you saw a change in your mom and dad. And what you saw was a peace.
Yes.
In their faces, in their demeanors. And what that said to you was, I don't have that, and I want it.
And that was ultimately the catalyst that caused me to take a step back and go, I've had everything this world has to offer and more. I had exhausted everything that gay seemingly promised and never delivered. And so ultimately it caused me to go, nothing I've tried has worked. And my family had found something, more specifically and more appropriately, someone. And it caused me on October 5th, 1985, to surrender my life to Christ when everything changed. But really, it was through the powerful witness of my family. And you know, it's remarkable to me even to this day that my family never once beat me over the head with the Bible. They knew how I was living. They knew what I was doing. But my mother was interceding on behalf of me in prayer. And I remember at one point, about 8 or 9 years down the road in my new life in Christ, we were talking about the subject matter. I looked up and tears were just streaming down her cheeks. I said, Mom, what's wrong? And she said, you don't know. And I said, I don't know what. She said, you don't know how many times in prayer I got in the enemy's face and said, I don't care what he's done. I don't care how many times he's done it. In the name of Jesus, you can't have him anymore.
Oh, wow.
Watch out for the prayers of Mama.
Wow. Absolutely. Boy, I've got a mother like that. And her prayers have stopped me right in my tracks. And many times, I mean, just like...
Don't mess with Mama.
Don't mess with Mama and her prayers. Philip, you were describing to me a very poignant moment when it all came to a head. You go into your bedroom. Tell the world what happened at that moment.
It was, again, October 5th, 1985, about 6 o'clock in the evening. And I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, and I'm looking around at the artwork hanging on the walls, and again, the closet's full of designer clothes and, you know, all the stuff. But I also took note that I was void of all friends, and I was holding my family at a distance. I had just become so self-absorbed, so self-focused. And the whole gay factor had just literally consumed me like a raging fire, to the point that if you didn't agree with how I was living or how I saw myself, you're out.
Yeah.
But out of my mouth came these words, Jesus, if you're really real, I need you to come. I need you to come right now. Now, again, on that particular evening, that was many, many years ago, some 35 years ago, to this date, I still never told the whole story of what transpired. But I knew this. I knew when I rose to my feet, God had heard my prayer, my life would never be the same again. And one of the miracles, and I shared this many times over our broadcast, one of the miracles that immediately surfaced was, I couldn't wait to get to church. Trust me, that was a miracle, because my limited interaction with Christians was not very favorable. I didn't like you folks too much at that time.
Yeah.
But
for good reason.
Yes, I would say so. It would have been easy for me to form the mindset of all Christians, no way, no how, church. I don't think so. But there I am in church for the first time, and thank God for a loving congregation. And a senior pastor and associate pastor that loved me and discipled me and mentored me made all the difference in the world.
And as they did that, they didn't talk about homosexuality with you, did they?
Hardly ever, which I was really grateful for, because I knew what the problem was. I didn't want to talk about the problem. I wanted answers.
Yeah.
And they kept pointing me to Jesus and pointing me to Jesus, who is our answer, no matter what the habit, no matter what the addiction, no matter what the compulsive behavior. So they really, really knew. And they believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a life. What a concept, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Philip, there was you described to me a very poignant moment when not long after you got up off to your knees, not long after you felt that the Lord had heard your prayer, you walked in and to your dad.
To my dad?
Yeah, you walked up to your dad, and your dad took one look at your face.
Oh, that's right, yes. I remember they're in the family home, and I kind of came around the corner from the living room to the den, and my stepdad was sitting there. And I didn't say a word, and all of a sudden he just looked at me and went, you got saved. And I said, yes, sir, I believe I did.
Wow, wow.
So it was an incredible moment.
Before I came here, I did some exercise in the swimming pool, and the sun is out, and I'm looking up, and the sun is on my face. The warmth of the morning sun is on my face, And the phrase came to me, the sun on your face, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N.
Yes.
The sun on your face. And I just read the scripture this morning, that the faces of those who trust in the Lord will be radiant. Will be radiant. It's like that wonderful warm tan glow you go when you get the sun on your face.
Your countenance changes.
Yes, your countenance changes.
It does. You know, now we're sitting here in the comfort of this studio, and we're having this very frank, open, honest, and transparent conversation. But you and I know all too well that today on the subject matter, if you have a different point of view, you have a deeply held conviction on the subject matter. Today, in our present society and culture, you are quickly labeled hateful, a bigot, and homophobic. We're not hateful. We're just saying, look, we just see this differently. How do you speak to that?
Well, number one, I feel I have gay friends. I've worked in the media, so I've got a lot of gay friends, and they've been some of the most wonderful colleagues I've worked with, some of the most creative colleagues I've worked with. But I feel betrayed. I feel betrayed by my gay friends, because when the whole debate was going on over gay marriage, finally, basically the argument that reached me was, look, Clark, It's no skin off your nose. You know, if me and such and such get married, and so if we have the freedom to do this, you can go on believing what you want. You can go on teaching or talking about what you want, and we'll just agree to go our separate ways and live and let live. And so I bought that argument. I said, okay, all right, that's no skin off my nose. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. You know where I stand. I know where you stand. But then, I mean, almost instantaneously, when gay marriage became legal, now they're prosecutorial and persecutorial. And if you don't bake a cake for them or arrange a flower for them, you're going to court. You're going to lose your business. I mean, it just became absolutely opposite of what they promised me. And so now I've experienced being called every name in the book. I've looked into the face of pure hatred toward me because of where I stand. I the venom that comes out, you know, toward me. And I know that's happening to so many people, and it just shouldn't be that way. And
so what you're saying is tolerance is not always a two-way street?
Boy, is that ever the case. You know, and, you know, personally, I kind of take Ronald Reagan's stand. Ronald Reagan said, I don't care what you do sexually as long as you don't scare the horses. So for me, I don't care, but I care what Scripture says.
Yes.
That's where I take my stand.
And you mentioned same-sex marriage. Let's focus on that just for a moment. Because 5 years ago in June, the month of June, same-sex marriage was officially legalized throughout this nation. Immediately, overnight, I have never witnessed such a dramatic, unbelievable shift as when same-sex marriage became legalized. It was like an abundance of people said, well, now they get married, so let's just go with it.
Yeah.
And yet, within the totality of Scripture, every time marriage is referenced or pointed to, it is always between a man and a woman. Never two individuals of the same sex.
Right.
But yet here we are some 5 years later. And I would submit that when we legalized same-sex marriage 5 years ago, the lid off Pandora's box came flying completely off. And we've seen pretty much a downward spiral ever since.
Yes.
But again, to be labeled hateful or a bigot simply because, look, I have a different point of view on this, that's just going a bit too far, I believe. Way too far.
Well, that's where we are. And what this does, Philip, in my opinion, it poses a very specific danger to Christians. And the danger is, as the society just totally swings the other way, and it not only becomes illegal, it becomes accepted, defended, popular. Then it becomes for the Christian to continue to speak out. Then what happens is Christians begin to draw back, shut up, and worst of all, when the Lord said, if you are ashamed of me and of my words.
Yes, yes.
I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven, before the angels in heaven. Yes. And I think that's where a lot of Christians are in great danger right now.
Yes.
That because, you know, in the book of Revelation, I was just reading all the things that are going to shut you out of the kingdom of heaven. What's number one? Do you remember what the very first thing is that the Lord says will shut you out of the kingdom of heaven? Do you remember?
I'm not recalling right now.
Cowardice. Cowardice. Not immorality, not homosexuality, cowardice. And if you are a coward in your culture and you will not take your stand and stand steadfastly there and endure the ordeal that you are about to go through, you're not going to make it.
Yes. And you know what, Don? I don't argue the point that each man and each woman, because God has given us free will choice, we get to choose which direction in life we are going to travel.
Absolutely.
If an individual wants to embrace their same-sex attraction, those feelings and emotions, that is their call. It's their choice. However, when they say that it's now being done, with God's approval and the blessings of Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
Now we have a blatant misuse and contradiction of the Holy Scriptures. And that's when I and you and others are going to say, hold it, wait just a moment. That's your choice if you want to embrace that. But you cannot say that you have the Bible behind you, because that's a contradiction of the word.
Yeah, yeah. And I, Jeepers, I know people you would think with great Christians that if you speak, begin to speak, I don't want to hear it. Out of bounds, off the table. Don't talk to me about that stuff. I'm not interested. You know, and we really are seeing a massive demonstration of what the Lord said in the last days. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure the truth. They will turn away to fables. They will turn away to lies, deceptions,
yes,
and doctrines of demons.
So we're always going to be returning to the truth and the authority of Scripture, which is ultimately the crisis we face today. It's no longer about homosexuality, and it really hasn't been. The ultimate crisis has not been about homosexuality. The crisis we're facing today is the lordship of Christ and the authority of Scripture.
Amen.
And if Jesus is your Lord, he's going to be Lord of your sexuality. It doesn't mean that Christians, that we are exempt from struggles, sometimes very intense struggles in our lives. And heaven knows, because we are sexual beings, that's how God created us, our sexuality is a potent part of who we are. Can you think of a better area for the enemy of our soul to attack? Heterosexual men and women, they're not exempt. I mean, let's look at the long list of heterosexual sexual sins.
Yes.
Sex before marriage.
Yes.
Habitual adultery, addiction to pornography, which is off the charts.
Yes.
But we're giving that kind of a wink and a nod because it's on the heterosexual side.
Yes.
It's not more acceptable to God, is it?
Yes. No. You're right on the mark. Right on the mark.
Well, let's talk a little bit about if there was a time when objective moral truth was acknowledged in America as something that could be found and drawn from the Bible.
Yep.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
Things have changed greatly. It seems as though we are dismissing the authority of Scripture more and more and more, and we're embracing more of my feelings define who I am, and I'm going to go with my feelings because that's what's paramount in my life. You set the Bible aside, you're setting yourself up for a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache.
Yep. Yeah, I remember one time, there was a 10-year stretch where my sexuality was totally out of control. And it was back in Boston was for me what the far country was for the prodigal son. And I just remember how addictive that was. And I remember just it was like I was leaving pieces of my soul all over town, and it was just the promiscuity was just fragmenting my personality and my heart. And I remember just crying out to Lord, I don't know how to stop this, but please just let this end. And I remember saying finally, well, Lord, I've had 10 years to do it my way. Now let's do it your way and see what comes of that.
You prayed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch out for those kind of prayers.
I can remember, Philip, when a fellow said, Don, would you like to pray with me? And I said, what I said was that, okay, Cord, I'll pray with you. And I remember his prayer, I don't remember his prayer, but I remember mine. And mine was, Lord, you know that 99% of me does not want to do this, but the other 1% does, and I hope you'll honor that 1%. And I knew, just like you, when you got up off the floor, I knew when I got up after that sofa in the lobby of the Marriott Hotel and walked out through that revolving door, I knew something had dramatically changed. And the Holy Spirit came back into my life, as he did when I accepted Christ as a boy, and he began to move in my life. And it wasn't me moving, it was him. You know, you just come to him as you are, and then he takes it from there.
The grace of God is an amazing, amazing truth. Where would we be? Where would any of us be without God's grace?
Praise the Lord.
You mentioned a moment ago that you have a lot of gay-identified friends.
Yeah.
And again, we know that talking on this subject matter can be a tremendous challenge.
Yeah.
And I always advocate what we say is critically important.
Right.
Equally important is how it is said.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Unfortunately, some individuals on the subject matter, they have been beat to a pulp over the head with God's word.
Yeah.
I mean, God's word, the Bible, has become more of a weapon than it has been a loving extension to people.
Yeah. You know, and Philip, you give me guidance in this, because we know that's true. Because we know the gay community has just been hammered with the Bible, you know, in an unloving way, in a judgmental way. It causes you just to say, I don't want to be one of those. I don't want to strike the next hammer blow, so I'm not going to say anything, because you just don't want to add to the misery that Christians have caused to case. So what do we do?
And I understand that. Here's my concern. Silence implies consent, and truthless grace accomplishes nothing.
Wow. Truthless grace. Yep.
And I know and I understand that many have adopted the silent mode. We're not going to say anything. We're not going to do anything.
Right.
And that's so tragic, because at the end of the day, it is the church that holds the only answer there is to this present crisis.
Yes.
And if we are not going to take the responsibility and stand for Christ, speak his words lovingly, and allow the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do.
Yeah.
These individuals that are struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction, where else are they to go if they can't go to the church?
Right.
And if we're saying, well, we're not going to talk about it, boy, that's tragic. Very, very tragic. But again, what we say and how it's said are very, very important.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, sir, it's always a pleasure to have you here. This time goes much, much too quickly. And as I said jokingly at the beginning of this program, we're going to keep having you back till you get it right.
Well, Philip, you're now entering into your retirement, and you need someone to take your place. So let's put a pitch out here. You know, if there's anyone out there that feels God's call tugging at your heart, you know, come and stand where this man has stood all these years and help lead this movement.
I still have a few months left before I enter into so-called retirement. We shall see in terms of what that ultimately is and how that's defined.
Right.
But I'll still be around for a bit. So thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Would you do me a favor? Would you close us in prayer?
You bet. Lord, my prayer is that you would strengthen the heart of the saints, that we will be steadfast, having done all to stand and simply to make where we stand known in a loving and steadfast way, that and may the sun shine on our face and from our face. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, you can't see this because this is radio, but I'm going to give Don a high five.
We're going to be fist bump.
And we are keeping the social distance in place here.
We're 6 feet apart.
To all of you for tuning in this morning, thanks so much for joining me. I hope you'll tune in again next Saturday, same time, same station. Till then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.